You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word.
Sin, salvation, spirit-filled living. Well, these are just a few of the topics that Dr. J. Vernon McGee covers as we journey through the magnificent book of Romans on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible Bus as we continue to make our way through the Bible in 5 years. Today, Dr. McGee gives us a quick tour of what we'll be studying and then helps us get ready for what we'll be learning in the weeks to come. Now, in just a minute, Dr. McGee will mention his booklet, 1 Hour in Romans. You can download your free digital copy at ttb.org/booklets. TTB.org is also where you go to download Dr. McGee's notes and outlines that will help guide you through our study of Romans, as well as our new companion, our Bible companion for Romans. Now, we got just enough time before the Bible Bus takes off to share a quick letter from a fellow passenger. One of the things that I love the most about our travels with the World Prayer Team is that we're not only having the opportunity to pray for one specific country a day, but we also hear from so many of you who are touched with an overwhelming desire to pray regularly for regions that God puts on your heart. Example, here's an email from Ruth who tells us how God is leading her. What a privilege to be a part of a group that prays each day throughout the year for a different country. Although I'm deeply touched by the individual letters that come in from each country, I do have to say that throughout this past year, I was really impressed with the need to pray for my own country, the United States. The spiritual needs are great, so I hope that many others on the team will join me in a special effort to pray for our country and especially for people in leadership positions. I also pray for each person on the prayer team and ask that they do the same for me. We are all very busy and have daily issues to deal with, and I'm sure many of us face some really difficult and perhaps seemingly impossible situations. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, team members, and let's remember that the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Well, Ruth, thanks so much for that reminder and for the encouragement. Why don't you join me and Ruth and thousands of other listeners as we travel the world on our knees together? Each day, our World Prayer Team visits a different country, including the United States, by the way, praying God uses His Word in hearts across the globe. Signing up, it's super easy. Just go to ttb.org/pray and enter your email, and when you do that, you'll receive a weekday prayer prompt, and you can hop aboard with us. Let's pray now as we begin this amazing study in Romans. Heavenly Father, we come to your word with anticipation and excitement. Would you please direct your spirit to guide and teach us your truths? Help us to understand the depths of your grace and your paths in righteousness that you ask us to walk in. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Let me begin by saying that our method is first to outline a book of the Bible when we begin a study of it. And we have outlined the Epistle to the Romans. The broad outline is we have it divided into three sections. The first 8 chapters, it's doctrinal, and faith is the subject. Salvation by faith. Justification by faith. And then in Romans 9, 10, and 11, we have a dispensational section that deals with the nation Israel. Its past, its present, and its future. And then in Romans 12 through 16, the subject is duty. Those that have been justified by faith have a duty. And we'll see as we move along that we break down each one of these sections. Fact of the matter is that when I go out to hold a conference and teach the Epistle to the Romans, I have an altogether different outline that I use. I divide it something like this. First, salutation, first 17 verses of chapter 1. The next is sin, verse 18, chapter 1 through chapter 3, verse 20. Salvation is the third division, beginning with verse 21 of chapter 3 through 10th verse of chapter 5. Then sanctification is the fourth division, chapter 5, verse 11 through the 23rd verse of chapter 6. Then struggle, chapter 7. Then spirit-filled living, chapters 8, 1 through 27. And then security, chapter 8, verse 28 through 39. Then we have segregation, chapters 9 through 11. And then sacrifice and service, chapters 12 and 13. Separation, chapters 14 and 15. And then a closing salutation in chapter 16. And that is, again, a very simple division of this book. Now, as we come to this very marvelous, wonderful book of Romans, there are two matters I'd like to talk about, and one is the man who wrote the epistle and the city to which he wrote the epistle. And, of course, when we get into the epistle, we'll see the third great matter, and that is the subject, which, of course, is the righteousness of God. Now, let me say just a word concerning Paul the Apostle. We've actually come now to a different method of revelation. God has used many ways to communicate to man. He gave the Pentateuch, the law, through Moses. He gave history. He gave poetry. He gave prophecy. He gave the Gospels. And we come to a new section, and they're epistles. Dr. Deismann tried to make a division between epistles and letters. He wrote a very ponderous tome, Light from the Ancient East, and he examined the papyri that was found at Oxyrhynchus in Egypt. And he tried to make a division that a great many scholars today think is entirely false, and therefore, Paul's epistle to the Romans is an epistle, and it's a letter. You don't make a division like that. It becomes very personal. And these letters that we have, these epistles, they are so warm and so personal that as far as you and I are concerned, it's just as if it came by special delivery mail to us today. And the Lord is speaking to us in each one of these very wonderful letters that Paul wrote to these different churches and the other apostles also. Now, Paul makes this statement in the 15th chapter of Romans at verse 15. Let me read this. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that's given to me of God that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul makes it very clear that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He also makes it very clear that Simon Peter was the apostle to the nation Israel. He says, for instance, in Galatians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, he says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision." Therefore, you see that Paul was peculiarly the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, when you read the last chapter of Romans and see all those people that Paul knew, most of them are Gentiles. The church in Rome was largely a Gentile church. Now, Paul also makes it very clear that if somebody else had founded the church in Rome, he would never have gone there. He says, for instance, that he was eager to go there. He says, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Now, he wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. And in the 26th chapter of Acts, verse 17, why, the Lord, who appeared to Paul, told him, as he gave his great message to Agrippa, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, under whom now I send thee to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now, Paul makes it also very clear He'd never have gone to Rome, although he was eager to go, if anyone else had preached the gospel ahead of him. In Romans 15, verse 20, he says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." And Paul just didn't go where no other apostle had been. So no one had been to Rome. Now, that leads me to say a word about Rome. And the question is, who founded the church in Rome? And I'm going to make a rather unusual statement here. And the statement is this: Paul is the one who founded the church in Rome. And he founded it by radar. And somebody says, "You don't mean that." Well, may I say, he founded it by long-distance telephone. And somebody says, "Well, they didn't have radar and they didn't have telephones then." Well, may I say to you, that's the best way I can describe it. And let me make it very clear. You see, Rome was a tremendous city, and Paul had never been there. No other apostle had been there. And yet a church came into existence. How did it come into existence? Well, Paul, as he moved throughout the Roman Empire, was winning men and women to Christ. And Rome had a strong drawing power, and many people were in Rome that had met Paul out in the Roman Empire. Somebody says, "Do you know that?" Oh, we have a very striking example of that. Over in the 18th chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 3, we find Paul going to Corinth. And who did he meet there? Listen to this. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he came to Corinth. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." Now Paul met Aquila and Priscilla. Their home was in Rome, but there had been a wave of anti-Semitism, and we find that Claudius, the emperor, had persecuted them, and now this couple left Rome. They came to Corinth. We find later that they went with Paul to Athens, and they became real witnesses for Christ. Then when Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans, they had returned back to Rome, and Paul sends greetings to them. Now we have this very personal word in Acts concerning this couple. What about the others there? Well, Paul knew them. That means he'd met them somewhere, and he'd led them to Christ, friends. Paul is the founder of the church at Rome by long distance, by leading folk to Christ, and then they gravitate to Rome. And let me read to you something I wrote many years ago in a little book entitled 1 Hour in Romans, and it's about Rome. I'd like for you to hear this. Paul knew Rome, although he had not been inside her city limits at the time of the writing of Romans. Rome was like a great ship passing in the night, casting up waves that broke on distant shores. Her influence was like a radio broadcast, penetrating every corner and crevice of the empire. Paul had visited Roman colonies such as Philippi and Thessalonica, and there he had seen Roman customs, laws, language, styles, and culture on exhibit. He'd walked on Roman roads. He'd met Roman soldiers on the highways and in the marketplaces, and he'd slept in Roman jails. Paul had gone before Roman magistrates. He'd enjoyed the benefits of Roman citizenship. You see, Paul knew all about Rome, although he was yet to visit there. From the vantage point of the world's capital, he was to preach the global gospel to a lost world that God so loved, so much that he gave his son to die, that whosoever believed on him might not perish but have eternal life. Rome was like a great magnet. It drew men and women from the ends of the then known world to its center. As Paul and the other apostles crisscrossed in the hinterland of this colossal empire, they brought multitudes to the foot of the cross. Churches were established in most of the great cities of this empire. In the course of time, many Christians were drawn to the center of this great juggernaut. A saying that all roads lead to Rome was more than just a bromide. As Christians congregated in this great metropolis, a visible church came into existence. Probably no man established a church in Rome. Converts of Paul and the other apostles from the fringe of the empire went to Rome, and a local church was organized by them. Certainly, Peter did not establish the church or have anything to do with it, as his sermon on Pentecost and following sermons were directed to Israelites only. Not until the conversion of Cornelius was Peter convinced that Gentiles were included in the body of believers. Now we find that Paul is the one now writing to the Romans. He also was to visit Rome later on. He also was the one who knew Rome, and he's the founder of the church in Rome. Now, we find that this great epistle, and the reason I feel so totally inadequate, is because of its great theme, which is the righteousness of God. And it is a message that I have attempted over the years to proclaim. And it is the message, by the way, that the world today as a whole does not want to hear it, nor will it want to accept it. The world likes to hear, friends, about the glory of mankind. It likes to have mankind exalted, not God. Now, I'm convinced in my own thinking that any ministry today that attempts to teach the glory of man and does not present the total depravity of the human heart and does not reveal that man is totally corrupt and that man is a ruined creature, that teaching that does not deal with that great truth will not lift mankind, nor will it offer a remedy. Because of the fact the only remedy for man's sin today is the perfect remedy that we have in Christ, which God has provided for a lost race. And that is the great message of Romans. Now, I can illustrate that, and I want to do it in a very personal way. About the time that I had just returned from Europe and Bible lands, and I actually came home a day early because I had been asked by the widow of Audie Murphy, the most decorated hero of World War II, to take his funeral, as he'd been killed in a plane crash. And I had known his wife, as she had been attending the church I served in Los Angeles for over 10 years. And I saw this young woman as she came to a knowledge of Christ and then began to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Now, she wanted me to present a gospel message at the funeral service. And it was made very clear to me I'd be in enemy territory. Now, the chaplain there, and he was a very fine man, sound in the faith, he was asked to give the obituary notice and the eulogy. And he did as it was proper. He mentioned the Distinguished Service Cross. He mentioned all of the medals that this young man had received. And I want to tell you, he deserved every one of them. He was a brave young man. He was the outstanding hero of World War II. He deserved every bit of it. But when I got up, I presented the gospel that men are saved not by anything they do, but something that God has done. And God has us all shut into a cross, and he's not asking the world to do anything. He's just asking the world one question: what will you do with my son who died for you? And that was the all-important question. And though this man had heard the gospel, and he had the example of his wife before him and all of that, and also the testimony of his two sons, he had not accepted it publicly as far as we know. But in that awesome and traumatic moment when that plane was plunging to the ground, that all of that must have come before him. He knew the facts of the gospel, and that if in that moment he turned to Christ, he was saved. And he saved as much as anybody's ever been saved. Because the Lord Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And friends, may I say to you that the thief on the cross Well, the Roman Empire said he wasn't fit to live in the Roman Empire, and they were executing him. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to make you fit for heaven, and today thou shalt be with me in paradise. God takes lost sinners like I am, like you are, and brings you into the family of God, makes you a son of God. And he does it because of his death upon the cross, and not because there's anything in us or any merit in us whatsoever. That's the great message of Romans, and this is the message. It was Godet, the Swiss commentator, who said, the Reformation was certainly the work of the Epistle to the Romans, and that of the Galatians also. And it is probable that every great spiritual renovation in the church will always be linked, both in cause and in effect, to a deeper knowledge of this book. It was Martin Luther who wrote, the Epistle to the Romans is the true masterpiece of the New Testament and the very purest gospel, which is well worth and deserving that a Christian man should not only learn it by heart, word for word, but also that he should daily deal with it as the daily bread of men's souls. It can never be too much or too well read or studied, and the more it's handled, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. It was Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, who had it read to him twice a week. Coleridge said that the Epistle to the Romans is the most profound writing that exists. And you find that actually one of the great scientists turned to this book, and he found in it that it gave a real faith. It was Michael Faraday. And this man was asked on his deathbed by a reporter, said, what are your speculations now? He says, I have no speculation. He says, my faith is firmly fixed in Christ my Savior, who died for me, who's made a way for me to go to heaven. This is the epistle that turned that Bedford tinker by the name of John Bunyan. I walked through the cemetery where he's buried, and I thought of what that man had done and said. You know, he was no intellectual giant, and he was not a poet, but he happened to write a book, my friend, that only one book has ever exceeded it in sales. That's the Bible, and it's Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. May I say to you that it's the story of a sinner that's saved by grace, and that sinner was John Bunyan. And the record, it just happens to be that this man read and studied the Epistle to the Romans, and he told its story, its profound story, in his own life story of Pilgrim, of how he came to the cross and the burden of sin rolled off, and he began that journey to the celestial city. This is the epistle we're going to be looking at, friends. I'd hope today we'd at least get our foot in the door. But it's such a wonderful epistle that I wanted to put down this type of a preface. But next time, we are going to get started in chapter 1. Now let me urge you to do something, and it'll pay you dividends that'll be amazing. Read it, will you? Read chapter 1 for our next study. We won't cover it all because this introduction is profound, as we're going to find out. In fact, every chapter will be just that way. We'll be here sometime, but we are going to hit the high points of this book. Stay with us. We hope you're with us next time. May the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, we certainly have our marching orders from our teacher, don't we? You can read chapter 1 with me in preparation for our next study. In fact, let's make it a point to read ahead before each study. You'll be so glad you did. You know, you can download our daily reading schedule bookmark over at ttb.org, or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll stick one in the mail for you. Now, our study through Romans is really an exciting one. You don't want to miss a single study, believe me. But if you happen to do that, miss a study, or maybe if you want to invite your friends to join us, you can always listen online at ttb.org in any order. All at once, you can binge it, or just one at a time. Now, we got a new resource that I want to tell you about as well. They're called Bible Bus Passes. This is pretty cool. Each pass is about the size of a business card. It's got a QR code on the back and the ttb.org web address that'll link you directly to some of our resources or our programs. Call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask us to send you some of these free Bible Bus Passes to hand out to your friends. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here next time holding the door for you to hop aboard.
Jesus made it home, unto him I own. Sin had left the crimson stain, it washed white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. Listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264 AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260 CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Okay, greetings in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our phone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we thank the Lord once again. We are always grateful. We thank God for His mercy and His love and everything that He's done for us throughout the days. We ask His will to be done today. The leadership of the Holy Spirit, that He will divinely guide and lead us through the scriptures today, that we will give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the honor and the glory. We take no credit for anything that being done or what has been done. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, because He said if He be lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. And this He spake of His type of death, that He should die. I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. He went to Calvary's cross for all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease. And by His stripes we're healed if we trust Him. Everyone that believe and that receive the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life. This is the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are not only heir to glorify ourselves or to exalt ourselves or to make ourselves feel good. We're here to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to give Him all of the praise and honor. So those that have tuned into the broadcast today, I want to pray for you out there in Radio Land before we get into the message. Praise God. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is You, Lord, that is responsible for all things pertaining to life and godliness. We ask, Lord Jesus, this very moment that the ones that have tuned in, that they would have a hearing ear, that they would hear what the Word of God is saying. Open up their hearts and receive You, Lord, as Lord and Savior of their lives. We thank You for this opportunity. Bless this message abundantly. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, I want to take you into 2 Corinthians, glory to God, the 5th chapter. We want to look at what the Word of God says. And the most important thing is that time is winding up. And I want to use today for a subject, for the little time that we do have on the air here, is that, are you right with God?
Hallelujah.
I want to tell you, are you right with God?
Hallelujah.
You may be right with men and organizations, denominations, but I want to ask, are you right with God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? In 2 Corinthians 5, we want to look at that. It's going to be a starter for us this morning. We want to listen to what the Father has said and done to the Son, so that the Son is the one that's responsible for us having eternal life if we believe and trust in Him. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, we want to look at that. I mean, Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace, spoke many other things, but we want to kind of glean from what he's saying here in the 21st verse of the 5th chapter. Praise God. We know that prior to what he's saying in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. He says that when this old tabernacle or tent is dissolved, that we have a building with God eternal in the heavens. I ask you today, do you have that promise? Can you believe if God were to come right now, will you be able to go back with him? That's the question that we all should roll over in our hearts and mind. Are we right with God? Well, let's look at the 21st verse there. And Minister Glory, we want to take our time today so that we can really exegete the scripture here concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of God, the Lamb of God, the one that came into this earth realm to redeem mankind back unto the Father. There's no other way that we can get back to the Father except through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep in mind the question that I've asked. Are you right with God? Praise the Lord.
For he has made him to be sin for us.
Hold on for a moment there, Minister Glory. For he, that's the Father, has made the Son to be a sin offering for us. We all go through a lot of things, and we go to church, and we do a lot of religious activity, but that cannot save you. The only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen very carefully as the scriptures illuminate itself for our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Father has made the Son a sin offering for us. Other words, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. And man's problem today is sin. It's not anything else other than sin. Many people find all kinds of excuses to try and discredit what's going on in the churches today. But I want to tell you that the problem is sin. S-I-N, sin. And we don't want to talk about sin. We want to feel good and do a lot of things to make ourselves look important. But I want to tell you today that the problem is sin. And the Father made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a sin offering for us who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know any sin. Glory to God. That he might be made the righteousness of God. That he might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. So if we receive him into our hearts, we are and we have the righteousness of God in him. So Minister Glory, God the Father made him to be a sin offering, atoning sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice. And everyone that will believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, not denominations, not anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because salvation is in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If we lift him up, as the word tells us in St. John 12 and verse 32, glory to God, Jesus said, and I want you out there in Radio Land to be drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. This is my only desire, is that folks get saved, not become religious, not feel that you've done God a service by going to church on Sunday and live any kind of way every other day of the week. That is not what God wants. God is looking for souls. And the only way that we can come back to him is not through our religious calisthenics, not because of what we are doing, but because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
He died for your sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. Minister Glory, we want to kind of validate every verse of scripture that we talked to. I want you to look at 1 John 2 and verse 2 there, praise God. I want everyone out there in Radio Land to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way back home. And my question to you is that, are you right with God? Do you expect to go back with God when he comes? Are you living according to the will that was left for us all? Praise God. The word of the eternal God is here for us all. Now, Jesus is the sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus didn't just come because he didn't have anything else to do. He divested himself of his royal diadem and came into this earth realm to save humanity. Most people today, they are not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. They are talking about what they can get out of what he has done. But I want to tell you today, never mind that. The Lord still loves you. And in the day of reckoning, he'll talk to you about it, because he has the last word. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. None of us are catching God by surprise. He is the all-wise. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And he's omnipotent. So when those three arms, I tell you, if we can understand that, we should get ourselves right with God if we have not gotten ourselves right with God through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Keep in mind that we can't do anything. It's not an exercise of our strength, but it's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace, told us in Ephesians 2, in verse 8 and 9, he says, "If for by grace are you saved through faith, it's not of works, it is the gift of God." Yes, any man should boast. We can't boast about what we have. We thank God for this grace. So, Minister Glory, read 1 John 2 and verse 2.
"And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world."
Isn't it wonderful? For the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's everybody. Come with God. But it does not mean that everybody is saved or born again. The only ones that are saved and born again are the ones that have received what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. On Calvary's cross. Glory to God. I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and he came to save you. The Bible tells us in St. John 3 and verse 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." You see, you have a choice. You have a choice if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. No one is badgering you or trying to force you to receive Jesus. Jesus came, and he came for us all. The word tells us that. As we humble ourselves and say, "Lord Jesus, I recognize my position as a sinner. I cannot save myself. I don't want to hold my membership of salvation in my own hands, because I cannot do anything with it. It's only in you." And the scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ms. Glory, would you read that 17 verse there, St. John, praise God, 3, praise the Lord. Glory to his wonderful name. Glory to his wonderful name. Praise God.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
This is the most important thing that we all should be able to understand. Sinners and saints, we should understand that God knew the condition of the whole world. This is why he sent his son. But he didn't send his son to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. The world lied in sin. God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What an opportunity. My God, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if your heart is not right with God, you have an opportunity. It is a choice that you make. God has created us all as free moral agencies. God is not going to force you to receive him. He's not going to make you to love him, because that would not be love. He gives all of us an opportunity to open up our hearts and to receive him as Lord and Savior of our lives. But many people today are listening to the evil one. They're listening to the lies of the adversary. I want to tell you today, don't listen to those lies. God loves you. He loves you so much until that's the reason why he came and went to Calvary's cross, taking all of your sins, sicknesses, and disease. Can you imagine for a moment what laid hold on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You can see what kind of sin is going on, but the point is that everything was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, I can't even fathom the idea of what really was on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, every opportunity that we get, Jesus said men will be drawn unto him. Praise God. Mankind will be drawn unto him. Our focus today and every other day should be only on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not how much money we have, not how many people we have, not anything that will deter the eyesight and the focus of who really makes the difference in our lives.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one. And this is why it's lift up Jesus. Glorify Jesus. He is the one, Minister Glory.
That's right.
I feel like preaching here, but I want to tell you there that Jesus should be the focus of everything that we're doing.
Yes. I wanted to just show how he loved us so much. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commended his love toward us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes. Can you imagine for a moment, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. This is the agape love.
Amen.
This is a love that have no strings attached. I love you regardless. Glory to God. I love you regardless. Mm-hmm. Oh, I tell you, that is who he is. He's love.
He's love.
He's not trying to be love. He is love.
Right.
That's why I said the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. Everyone that's been born again and believed the Lord Jesus Christ have received him into their hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Which he has given unto us.
Praise God.
Oh, I tell you today, don't forget who took your place there on Calvary's cross. There are many people today are more concerned about, well, how much money that I can earn, or how famous I am in whatever it is that they're doing. They've lost sight. You see, the enemy wants to keep your mind confused and cluttered and not allow you to understand the main purpose, the main focus of your reality here in this life. Keep in mind that it is Jesus. You are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not yourselves. And many people today are serving themselves and they're serving the God of Mammon. But I want to tell you today, he still loves you.
Amen.
All those things will be taken care of in the day of reckoning. If your heart is not right with God, he'll have the last word. He would have the last word, Mr. Lewis.
That's right.
He would have the last word, and he would tell you,
"That's right.
I don't really want to say what."
Mm-hmm.
He would tell you that you had this wonderful opportunity. He gave you life.
Yes.
He expected you to serve him. We came into this world, glory to God, to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to put ourselves or any minister or any organization on a pedestal and forget all about the one that has done it all for us. The only way that you and I will be able to get back home. Don't you want to go back home? Go back where you came from? I don't mean earthly. I'm speaking from a spiritual perspective. That to get back home, it has to be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no other way. I want to say that again. There is no other way. Jesus left heaven to come down here in earth, to be born of a woman, glory to God, to walk this earth, to show us what God the Father loved and what he is by showing this love to us all and dying on Calvary's cross, taking your sins and mine there. Rose again. Glory to God. He died on the cross. That's what he did. He is the risen Savior and the ascended Lord. Jesus loves you. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. He loves you until the end. And that's the end of your life. Listen to me very carefully. The question still remain in my heart and in your heart. Are you right with God? I ask myself the question. Am I right with God? Things during the course of the day or perhaps the week, sometime you find yourself being very busy about other things instead of staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy plays a lot of part in what's going on because he will try to cover your eyes, cover your mind, have you thinking about all these things that have no eternal value to them. So that you can take your eyes off of Jesus. Minister Glory, would you read 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 and 4? The most important thing is for us to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful he is. No matter what we may be going through, the difficulties and all the trials, the challenges, from day to day that we go through, we still know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He loves us so much. Look at what he has done. Minister Glory.
It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
We are not to hide this gospel. The gospel, as Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and 16, say for this gospel, glory to God, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, I said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Don't allow the enemy to blind your mind with all of the unnecessaries that are floating around here in this earth realm. He covers not your eyes. He wants you to see these things, but he captivates your mind. I said he captivates your mind. And this is where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has to shine under them. Minister Glory, could you read that verse of scripture, the fourth verse?
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them.
You know, many times I thought that to be blind, your eyes had to be covered. Well, no, he's not covering your eyes. He wants your mind so that you can discredit our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it is. He blinds the mind. But the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has to shine into your heart. That's the only way that the breakthrough will come. Well, anyway, I thank God for all the listening audience out there in Radio Land. I want to tell you, don't ever forget the one in whom I serve. He loves you, and he wants you to come back home, because he is the only way that you can get back. Glory to God. Before we close this broadcast, I want Minister Glory just to extend that invitation of salvation to everyone out there in Radio Land quickly.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. All you need to do is to humble yourself and repent of your sins and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.